Now. Hey everybody, welcome back to another fabulous episode of the Over Sharon Show. My name is Brandon. I'm joined today, as always, with Sharon. And I have a quote. So let me read the quote, and then we'll ask Sharon how she's doing and what she thinks about the quote. All right, this is by Arthur Schopenhauer. In order to acknowledge and freely admit the worth of another, a man must generally have some worth of his own. Or woman. Living man or woman.
Read that again. In order to what?
In order to acknowledge and freely admit the worth of another, a man must generally have some worth of his own. So he must have some, if you want to acknowledge the worth and validation, that's not the right word. If you want to just acknowledge any worth in others, you have to know that you have some self-worth, right? You have to, or have some idea that you're worth something yourself. There you go. That's probably a better way to put it. Because I really feel like most people hate themselves, and that's why they hate other people. Because I know that's where I was. Yeah.
It reminds me of, you can't love someone else if you can't even love yourself.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Or like, how are you supposed to love somebody when you can't love yourself, kind of that thing?
I always screw up quotes.
You but, yeah. can't always get what you want.
Well, allegedly, I was being particularly quirky and silly. So Brandon thought I was like high on something. And I
are you on meth, Sharon?
No. I guess I'm affected by caffeine because I had some coffee right before, allegedly.
A little bit.
So hopefully I don't crash in the middle of this.
Yeah, you'll be all right.
I'm just kidding.
Did you note the time, by the way, when we started?
I did.
Wow, you're so good. Me too. Me too. All right. Do you want to pull a card? Or?
I do. And I have my deck, that cool deck. What was it called? Now I forgot. It was like the.
I can look it up because I was.
Thank you.
I was looking up.
Something Greer. I can't remember the first. It's an M word.
Speaking M-word.
Of,
monkey?
Speaking of M word. Yes. Speaking of M word. You know, on the what episode was that recently? I think it was the most recent episode where I couldn't remember the guy's name who lived to like 969 years or whatever.
Yeah.
Methuselah. I knew it started with an M, but I couldn't remember.
How dare he live so long?
I know. Under the vapor canopy.
The vapor canopy.
I mean, allegedly, right?
I could look up my browsing history on this certain website that's named after a jungle in Brazil. I don't want to
guess. Yes, right?
Because I was looking up text there.
Something
career. Why isn't it? This is weird. Was somebody else on my Amazon?
No.
It's not showing that. That's funny.
Was it me? I'm just kidding.
I don't have your Amazon account. Was it me? That's weird that it's not showing that.
I could probably find it.
Holy crapoli.
Holy guacamole.
Holy crapoli.
Okay.
Morgan Greer. I just put Morgan, in Greer Tarot.
Morgan Greer.
Morgan Dean Witter Greer.
Did you just make that up?
Yeah, Morgan Dean Witter is like a bank commercial or something. Bank.
Oh, okay. Are you ready for the card?
I'm ready.
Ooh.
The Chariot.
Three of Pentacles.
Ooh, that's a cool one. Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
That's a good one. It's the Trinity. The Trinity.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the Three of Pentacles represents a lot of times it's like when you're new at a certain craft and you're starting to do pretty well at it, you can show other people and they're kind of like giving you, it's like on the road to mastery. When you finally get it, like I'll put it in the like with me being a DJ, it took me a few months or like a year or whatever it was to be comfortable and do certain things. And then once I started to get comfortable, then other people can come in and give me, I mean, people still would help me and give me tips, but this way they could not just give me tips about how to be a DJ. They could give me tips about my actual performance. You know what I'm saying? Like, and you could like start to tighten it up and build your own style and I guess stuff like that. So it's the same thing, just like as a craftsman. So because in that picture, and I know the one in the Rider-Waite, he's actually like chiseling something and two people are looking and they're looking at plans. So it's about people that might be masters. Can we even say that word anymore? that might be masters and they're watching your progress and they're giving you some tips about it. And it, but they're still letting you build the cathedral or whatever it is, right? Because you still have, you've maintained or you've got enough skills, we'll say, to do the work, but they're just kind of standing over there and showing you what to do. And I also like it because it's a three. So it's represents, like I just joked around, the Trinity, but like a birth. And it's right before the four, which is the stability. So you're on your road, on the road to stability and a solid foundation. So that's what I would say. Do you have a book with you?
I do. Guided Tarot. Ooh.
Tara.
So prosperous expansion is at your fingertips as you confidently walk through new doors of opportunity. The key upright meanings are success and new doors opening. It says you've already worked to create balance in your life and are now ready for the expansive opportunities presented by the Three of Pentacles card. Here we see three people gathered in lively conversation, collaborating on a plan that will change their lives for the better. The man standing on the bench is the craftsman. He has valuable expertise and is confidently standing above the other two figures, explaining his vision. Three pentacles carved into the architectural details show that this collaborative work is stable and long lasting. And I'll just show the Rider-Waite equivalent.
There we go. That dude has like the coolest suit on the right.
Oh, what is that? It like, it's so weird.
It's like a jester suit, kind of.
I'm going to see if I can quickly find the Three of Pentacles in here.
Is that your Rider-Waite?
Yeah.
Rider-Waite.
Like, oh, yes, I found it. Here it is.
Yeah.
His outfit's kind of funky looking.
Won't you take me to Funky Town? That's probably where he got it. He probably got that suit at Funky Town. Yeah, that's fancy.
Schmancy.
I mean, back then, that took balls to pull off that, you know, because that Rider-Waite is like depicted in the Middle Ages. So that guy was definitely some kind of magician or like a master wizard or something. He's like,
Who's wearing the outfit?
Yeah.
Like, why does it? It's so weird because it like covers the top here and then it comes around his face. It's like a cape, but it's like covering his whole body. And then it kind of like goes back into like a, I don't know, like a ponytail almost. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's got like those jester things or whatever.
It's like kind of jester-like.
Yeah. It's like a burka.
Yeah, it kind of is.
Burke-esque. So. Maybe he's got a really hot body and he doesn't want all the women to chase him around.
Perhaps.
Trying to focus on his spirituality. He's like, I don't need these bitches to keep, they just keep chasing me. I can't help it. I'm a medieval stud.
Yeah. Three of Pentacles. So today is kind of like impromptu. We're just chit-chatting. And Brandon wanted to talk about this one quote that he can't remember how it goes. I feel like you've told me this quote before.
Yes, we have, because I talked about it on that episode that I did with Sarcastic Warlock. Okay. And I think he brought it up. but I can't remember the exact quote, but I was reminded of it by Joe, and he has that show called Contemplations of Spirit. And he put out an episode yesterday and I was listening to it. And basically the quote goes, to the one who knows, or to the truly righteous man, holy texts are like water on a floodplain, you know, like extra, like it's like bringing sand to the beach, basically, is the best way to put it. Right. That's what they would say whenever like a bunch of guys would go somewhere like, oh, we're going to go to Vegas or Atlantic City or to Myrtle Beach. And some guy would like want to bring a girl. We're like, you're bringing sand to the beach.
It's superfluous.
Yeah.
It's extra.
There's plenty of hoes down there. No. So yeah. And I that really struck me the first time I heard it. It blew my mind, because basically what they're saying is you don't need any of these holy texts, all these holy books, all the stuff that we talk about. Even like natural law, you don't need to dissect it and like write it down and talk about it and all this stuff. It's like, if you just listen to your intuition, you know, right from wrong. So you don't have to make it something, for presentable for people and like tell them this is what they have to do, because if they're not living in accordance with natural law anyway, just doing that is kind of like woke raping them, right?
Because I was just gonna say that.
Yeah, you're basically woke raping them. And then I believe that, not that I'm against any of these spiritual texts, because we talk about the Bible, the Bhagavad Gita, the Tao. I think those are for the times that we're in now, that when people are just so lost, like it's a dark age or whatever, it's something that it could be used. We've talked about this before too. It's used by the exoteric, so the normal church, like the normal Christian church, for example, with the Bible. They have this Bible and they think it's, they believe that it's like everything's true, everything happened in it, it's all like a historical story. And then you have esoteric understanding of it, where you think that maybe it was true, but there's also just like a parable. When Jesus talks about these parables, there's a little hidden message in there. Allegory, metaphors, many hidden messages. So it's like a capsule that could be carried through the dark ages. Because if you think about it, like I think we said this before, like Jesus didn't have a Bible. Nobody in the Bible had a Bible. So maybe those were just the times when they didn't need those texts, because it was just so well known, and people that were doing quote unquote evil, they were just choosing to do it in a different way. And I think now, the age or whatever you want to say that we're in now, people are just doing stuff out of ignorance. It's just like when Jesus, as he was getting murdered, remember this, everybody, as Jesus, your Lord and Savior, was getting nailed to a cross, he said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." Sorry, I just had to yell that a little bit. But it's like, as your hero was getting nailed to a cross, he was forgiving the people who were nailing to him to a cross. So if you can't forgive anybody and you're, you know, a Christian, it's like, dude, it's right. It's like so laid out right there. You know, he was able to forgive the people. And again, we fall short. We could use Jesus as an example, but I think that if you really want to live the path and say, what would Jesus do? I mean, you know, right there, he's forgiven them.
The path of Christ.
Yeah. And I think it is, though, he had an understanding that people are only acting. They're just basically they're doing their best. Right. And I know it sounds like a shitty excuse, but people are just, and I've heard this, I was listening to Aaron Abke. He does a series on A Course in Miracles as well. And we mentioned him before about the Law of One stuff. And I watched his first two videos and he was talking about forgiveness and he was saying all this stuff. That's why it's kind of fresh in my brain right now. But he was saying how people who, when they do things that are considered evil, most times they're just doing them to stop the suffering. Like even a murderer, they think that all their problems are going to go away if they just kill this one person, right? Or whatever it is in the moment, they just get mad, or even if they plan it or whatever it is, they believe that that action is going to stop their suffering. So they're just like children, really.
Yeah, that's Valid. Wow.
Yeah. And again, you know, he was even saying, like, you could still lock up a murderer. He's like, it's because if you're going to lock up or execute or whatever a murderer, you're going to stop them from doing more murder. So it's actually an act of love, because the way he said it was, Aaron was like, well, if I killed somebody, I'd want somebody to lock me up to stop me from killing more people. That'd be showing them love. So we're still not going back on the whole thing about self-defense that we always talk about. But I think that the extreme examples are good, but really where the everyday rubber meets the road, it's just people in your life, your family, your friends, your coworkers. This happens a lot. I'm sure people that work with other people and they just get frustrated. It's more about the way that you look at what they're doing. Like we've said before, never take anything personally. We said that before in a different shows. And this goes right along with that, because a lot of times we paint this picture in our head of why people do what they do, right? Like, oh, why did my dad chop the bush down in front of where I sit all the time to block me from the park? It's like, he must hate that I sit out here or whatever. But no, he just chopped the bush down. Like, I don't know.
OCD maybe?
Could be. But yeah. But, you know, it's just like people are just doing their best. They just think it's the right thing to do in the moment. And again, it doesn't excuse them from doing that. They still have to deal with the karma of that action. But what it does do is it allows you to drop the judgments that you have. Because if you're judging them, you're just, how did he say it? He said something like something about only the truth is real, like real, like only what happened. It'll come back to me. But you're really just, you don't know why they're doing what they're doing. So anything that you're making up in your head is just another thought form. It's a thought wave, and it's probably not true. So,
and it reminds me of when you talk about that people are just having a conversation with themselves, and people are, they're just using you kind of as a mirror of themselves, and they're talking to themselves. They're talking to the person they think is you, but that's not really the real you, because they have this imagined visualization in their head about who you are, and that's who they're talking to. And that was what Don Miguel Ruiz from the Four Agreements or whatever.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that Toltec stuff I heard more about recently, because that's where that,
man, yes, I'm not done with that episode, but keep going.
Yeah, the Toltecs were, that's where Don Miguel Ruiz, I think his mom was passing down that Toltec information. And it's just really, it, because honestly, it's like the same message that you get in all these other holy texts. It's just worded in a way for the people of the time to understand it. And then they just pass it down orally instead of in a book. And then they could teach their children and their children's children and all that stuff. So,
and words are just that, they're words, and they fall short. Which, yeah, just keep going. I could keep going, but go ahead.
Also, what Aaron was saying was, anytime that you feel like somebody's doing evil or something wrong or something against you or whatever it is, you basically, that's why I read the quote in the beginning. It's that there's part of you, and this is going to sound like all new agey, but there's part of you that realizes that we are all one, right? I guess you can call it your higher self, whatever it is. Realizes that everybody, every man and woman is part of this
collective
in a good way, though, not collectivism, but this collective consciousness. And when you see somebody screwing up, that you perceive that they're screwing up, part of you knows that nobody can really make a mistake. We're just kind of all on our journey to figure it out. It's just like looking at the world as perfect, just like the Tao says. So in a way, it's really self-hatred, or it's a clue to maybe you need to show yourself or work on self-love, because you believe that. So it's basically like if you judge other people, you're judging yourself is really what you're doing at the end of the day. You could look at it many different ways. You could be insecure about something and you could think that, you know, it's like, what's that thing Jesus said about before you remove the sliver in someone else's eye, you should remove the plank in your own eye.
Splinter. Yeah.
Splinter. Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
Before you remove the rat that taught the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles out of your eye. Sorry. His name is Splinter. You should. I got this giant rat that's mutant and he's hanging out with these turtles. They're eating pizza in my eye. You should remove the plank in your own eye. So, yeah. And in this, you know, this is stuff that it's not like I embody this and I practice this every day, but I do try to work on it. And I have an example, actually, I could talk about of something I've worked on recently on my on myself, unless you wanted to add something to what I said or whatever.
Not right now. I can probably bring it up.
All right. So I've been playing some poker lately. I went twice, but in the last week I played poker twice. People won't know, but anyway, we'll just say Sunday because this is going to come out in a couple weeks. But Sunday I went to bring my friend to do a comedy show because he hosts, they have these comedy contests sometimes. I think they do them once a year at the casino, and like 100 people sign up. It's crazy. So they do all these shows where they'll have like 10 people on, then they whittle it down to like four, and then they do like a second round and all this stuff. So anyway, he won it one time. So they have him come back and host, and they pay him for it. So he didn't have a ride. So I brought him up, and it's like an hour away. And I was like, oh, that's cool. I'll go and I'll just go play poker, because I've been to that contest a bunch of times. And it's just like, I don't want to, like, so, you know, like, listen, if people were up there and they're making fun of what was really going on, I'd be all for it. You know what I mean? But I would just be back there like, what about the emergent? Like, what about the experimental medical serum? You know what I mean? Like, I can't, anyway.
I just can't even.
I'm terrible. I literally can't even. I'm like a white girl. There's a joke. I can't remember it. Anyway, so. Oh, it's like, why are white chicks odd? Because they literally can't even. Anyway. Because that's what they always say.
It took me a second.
Why are they always odd? Because they literally can't even. So anyway, I went up there Thursday and I played cash. So there's two different types you could play. So I played Texas Hold'em, but you could play a cash game where you sit down and you could just keep buying in and leave whenever you want. And then you could also play a tournament, which is basically you buy in for a certain amount. They give you fake play chips, and then everybody plays with them down to like 10 people. Well, you play to one, but they'll pay like the first 10 spots, depending on how many people. So this tournament I went to, there was like 100 people, like 99 people, and the first 10 spots paid. So when people get knocked out or whatever. So I ended up, I went Sunday night, and when my friend Pat was like 3 or 4 hours later, he texted me and he was done. And I was up $10, which when you're playing, usually you're like down a couple hundred, up or a couple hundred, whatever. And I was just like, you know what? I'm leaving. I'm like, I'm not even going to stay. This is perfect. $10, I'll take it. So, because the last two times I played, I lost. And that's how, it's really weird how these streaks go with poker. I've noticed it. Like, it's just like life. Sometimes, because I played when I was on my trip, when I went to Florida, I played for a little bit and I lost. And it's not like, because I'm going to brag here, I'm actually a pretty good player. But sometimes, unless you're playing for a long period of time, like if you're only playing for 4 hours, you could just be in a rut where you don't get any cards. Because in a cash game, nobody really gets up and moves around. It's always the same player. Sometimes one person will leave. But if you're in that seat, for some reason, you can consistently just keep getting shitty cards. And you could fold all the time. But then when you get a decent hand and you try to play it, like after all the cards come, it looks like you have a good hand, but you have the second best hand, which doesn't pay anything. So anyway, so that's what happened to me the last couple times I went. But when I went Sunday, I won $10. I'm like, I'll take it as a win. This is great. And then I saw that they had some tournaments, and I really like tournaments anyway, because it's more about patience and it's just a whole different style of play. So I went up Tuesday and played a tournament, and I ended up going down to and winning the money, because when we got to 10 people, what you can do is, if you want, you don't have to keep playing. You could just stop and split up the prize money. The casino doesn't care because it's not their money. So we made a deal and we just split up the money evenly. So I ended up getting a considerable amount of money, which is pretty nice. And
well done.
Thank you. And the reason I brought all that up was because before, when I would play poker, if I was in a hand, I got like two aces, which is the best hand or whatever it is, a good hand. So you kind of feel like you should win that hand. But again, there's more cards to come. So everybody starts with two cards that nobody could see, and you bet and you raise, and then three cards come out, and then you can bet, raise, or fold or whatever. So during all those rounds, I would always get nervous or like scared. And I caught myself. I'm like, wait a minute. I'm doing all this work on myself where I shouldn't fear. I'm like, why the hell am I afraid of this? And it's like, I was playing with $200. I'm like, if I lose $200, I'll be okay. It's not like I'm going to be in the poorhouse or not be able to eat tomorrow, you know? So I'm trying to put it into perspective. And I realized that was a hole that I had in my game. I was playing with fear sometimes. So that's when I noticed that Sunday night. So when I went back to play the tournament, I had that mindset. And then toward the end of the game, what happens is, so there's 10 players at each table. So when you get down to like 13 people left, they only pay the top 10. So everyone's like playing kind of tight or playing, you know, they don't want to get knocked out. And every time somebody goes all in, if they're a shorter stack and they get called by a big stack, everybody roots for that person to get knocked out. You know what I mean? Cause they want to move up. So I was thinking to myself, I'm like, why am I rooting? I mean, I understand why I'm rooting for that person to get knocked out, but I shouldn't be like obsessed. And I shouldn't be mad if they don't get knocked out. I mean, I guess if I'm playing against them, it's different. Like if I'm in the hand with them, there's more, cause my chips are at risk. But if I have no say in this hand, you know, why am I even worried about it? So once I noticed that, I stopped doing it. I'm just like, all right, whatever happens, happens. I'm like, good luck. And after these two players were talking about that, after we had already ended and chopped it up, this guy from the other table, because we weren't quite down to one table yet. Like once we got down to one table is when we split the money. But he was like, yeah, I ran over to your table and I saw that, you know, you were all in with this other guy. And he's like, come on, I wish you got knocked out. He's like, oh, I'm sorry. And the other guy's like, no, he's like, I'd want you to get knocked out too. You know what I mean? Like people don't care about it. And I was going to bring that up, but I didn't. I'm like, you know, and I don't want to be casting my pearls in front of swine here. They're just going to think I'm fucking crazy. Like it's funny too. Cause I mean, you could go, you know, you've seen pictures of me with like no facial hair and really short hair. And that's what I used to go like up there when I played poker. So a couple of the people didn't recognize me, the couple of the dealers that I knew, but some of them were like, Brandon, they're like, holy shit.
Smokes.
The ones that I really know, they're like, oh yeah, how you doing?
You're,
man,
like,
you
no,
know?
It's Brandoff.
Yeah. Like it's Brandoff now. Brandoff the gray. Brandoff the brown. Why? Because you have brown hair? Right. I'm Brandoff the brown. Why? Because your hair is brown? No, because I just shit my pants. No. That's the humor that we bring to the Oversharing Show, everybody.
Oh, God.
It's like a joke that I just heard that I'll say because you probably haven't heard it. It's like, what do you call a cat? There you go. Okay, what do you call a cat that's good at arithmetic?
Oh, I think I saw this on the VTA.
Yeah, a mathma kitten.
Oh, you know what? Someone posted mathma chicken.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I just changed the whole joke. What do you call a chicken? I think I just made up a good joke about a cat and a kitten.
What did you say? What did the cat say that again?
No, I said, what do you call a cat? And then I said a mathma kitten.
Oh, I like that one.
Yeah.
But the other one was what? What,
the original joke is, what do you call a chicken that's good at arithmetic? A mathma chicken. A mathma chicken. I wonder why I changed it to a cat.
Because you have cats, perhaps.
It could be. So those are two things that I've worked on myself recently. And I think it's going to improve my poker game, which I'm excited about. I mean, I don't plan on playing a ton of poker, but I think every once in a while I might go play a tournament because I mean, it's nice because I'm out there and I'm like, it gives me a chance to like say jokes to people and also find out like what the temperature is with the normies, you know, because I can hear what's going on without watching the news, and I could be out in public. And, you know, it's funny. Some people are wearing masks and like some dealers are wearing masks. And I'm just like, ah, it's so funny. And like this one guy was like, do you have that squirt stuff? And he's like, gets the fucking hand sanitizer. And I just wanted to say it so bad, but I was like, I'm just going to shut my mouth. I wanted to be like, did you test that against, did you check that against a recall list? Cause.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say something about squirting.
Oh, Jesus. Are you squirting on your hands? No, it's that hand sanitizer, which is like, they should just call it people sanitizer. It kills all the germs and the people. No.
Terrible.
It's like sunscreen. I know. I see people with sunscreen. I'm like, guys, why don't you just go take some Tylenol? You know, it's like, anyway, I'm spiraling. Didn't you see this? It's like not even, you know, that's the thing that it's funny. So speaking of Joe, he sent in his little group where he shares his podcast, he put an interview with Bill Cooper.
Oh yeah. I haven't finished it. Keep going.
And Bill Cooper is the guy who wrote Behold the Pale White Horse, and he was like,
yes, Behold the Pale Horse,
on the conspiracy scene and all that stuff. And he said something that blew, I mean, he said a lot that blew my mind, but something he said toward the end was, he's like, you know, you start telling the guy down the street about these conspiracies and you're like, there's conspiracies. And the guy's like, there's no conspiracies. He's like, you know, those people, right, that say there's no conspiracies. He goes, they're right. He's like, there are none. They're just doing it out in the open. He's like, it's not a conspiracy. They write books about it. It's out there. You could find it. And I was like, oh my God. He's like, yeah. So when those people say to you that there's no conspiracies, he's like, they're not lying. He's like, they're right. I was like, it's so true. He's like, they're just choosing not to look at it, and they might not know, but technically they're right. There's no.
Yeah. Cause it's not hidden in plain sight. It's just not in hidden plain sight.
Yeah. It's just, they write books if they tell you what they're going to do. You know, like he was talking about Zygmunt, what's that guy's name? I forget his name, but I think, Richard Nixon, Zygmunt Zabrisky or Zabra, I don't know, I'll look it up, but Richard Nixon appointed him something like in the government, and Bill Cooper's like, the guy in his book said he was a freaking Marxist. It's like, you know, it's like, what do you expect from him? Of course that's what's gonna happen. Yeah, that's one thing he said that blew my mind. There's something else, but I'll think of it. There's a bunch, but that was a really good interview by him. I was like, mind blown. And he said a lot of stuff too, because this is the thing, people be like, oh, Bill Cooper said all this stuff and it didn't come true, because he was like, by 1996 we're going to be in a world war. And I'm like, I think we are in a world war, though, we just don't realize it.
It never ended. The world wars never really ended.
No, they didn't, for sure they didn't, but you could kind of say they did with like the treaty or whatever, the what were those trials at Nuremberg and all that. But like, technically they started a new one. You can even say in like the 70s because of Iran, and then it, you know, then Iraq with Kuwait and all that stuff. And he was saying that a guy wrote a book in 1985 talking about how the US is going to go in and liberate Kuwait from Iraq, and Iraq didn't even attack Kuwait until like 1989. So that's the thing. He's like, it's not hidden, man. It's just in plain sight. So that's, listen, everybody, That's really good news for us, though, because we're not conspiracy theorists anymore. We're just honest people that can honestly look at what's going on and call a spade, you know?
Yeah.
What do you call a black maid of honor at a wedding? A spade of honor. Yeah. Was that racist?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't get it. Sorry.
Oh, have you a spade? Do you know what a spade is? Like in a playing deck, like the ace of spades?
Yeah, but which one is it? I always forget what it looks
like.
Well,
a spade is like a black.
Is it the one that looks almost like an upside down heart with a tail?
Yeah.
Okay.
And some people will derogatorily call black people spades. So.
Oh, I never heard that. Yeah. See, I told you I grew up under a rock.
They didn't use a spade to lift that rock up? No. Anyway. I think I said that the other day to my friend because he's talking about the maid of honor. And I was like, spade of honor. Like, I don't know.
Sorry, I was looking something up while you were talking because I was trying to remember where. Okay, so there was a total sink. So I was listening to episode 417, Crows 417, and I'm behind. So I was listening to that, and at some point they mention Bill Cooper. And I forgot who was the one who was on that 417.
Was that Wayne McCroy?
No, it was Jay Widener. Widener?
Oh, Jay Widener. I've heard that, yeah.
Okay, so Jay Widener was on episode 417, and I didn't know about the guy, but he ends up talking about Bill Cooper because Jay Widener had written a book back in the day that is, I don't think it's no longer in print from what I understand. And he heard somebody or a friend told him, hey, Bill Cooper is reading it on his show. And so Jay was like, okay. So he contacted Bill and Bill wrote him back and was like very gracious and very kind and everything. And so, but several days later is when he
was executed.
Something like that. Yeah. And Jay talks about that and how they taunted him and got him to be provoked so that they could, you know, bring him to that place. And,
well, yeah, either that or he kind of brought it upon himself by openly not.
Right. Right.
But who knows? But yeah, you're right.
I totally get it.
Yeah.
Which is like, that's why you can't take things personally because you might bring something upon yourself. Right.
Yeah, like, for sure. This is why I like the way Owen frames everything, because honestly, they're really not coming to get you, because this, and Bill Cooper even said it himself. He's like, nobody cares. He's like, if everybody cared, he's like, we wouldn't even have to shed any blood. We could just stop paying attention to these people. You know what I mean? Like, we could just live our lives and they would just be like, ew, what do we do? But unfortunately, that's not the state of the human consciousness now. But I believe that if Archaics is right and the vapor canopy does come back, then it's game over, because I feel that's why people didn't have holy texts back then in the times of the Bible, or they weren't talking about them as much. Excuse me. Because if there was a vapor canopy, I feel like all that stuff can't happen, because Archaics is talking about how people are going to want to die, but aren't going to be able to die, because in the vapor canopy times, people just like heal really quickly.
Yeah. And they just live for a long period of time.
A really long time.
To great sizes.
And if people are that old and you just can't like fool them, you know what I'm saying? Like, think of like somebody who's like 200 years old. They've seen everything. You know what I mean? Like, what kind of scam are you going to bring on them? That, and then I think maybe something with the consciousness too changes, I would imagine. But so that's why I'm not even worried about any of this stuff, especially the ages. They make so much more sense now, because people talk about like the golden age and everyone's like, well, how are you going to get there? Is everyone just going to wake up? How's that going to happen? Well, I think a series of cataclysmic events followed by a vapor canopy would definitely do that to whoever's left. And maybe it's only the people who get it who will be left, you know, like, who knows?
Yeah,
people who aren't in fear.
You just mentioned and I didn't finish about the 417 episode.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'll finish that in a second, but you mentioned the you know the whole vapor canopy, which made me think of the Giants, and then you said something about them not having texts in those days or whatever. But have you seen those book people, those pictures of people with giant books in front of them?
Oh, yeah.
Like in these like libraries with the books are like as tall as you or me, like insane. And
well, they still might have had books. I'm just saying, like,
yeah. So my question was, I wonder what's in those books.
I know. Right.
Right. What's in there?
Yeah, that would be an amazing book to read. One of those that could have been a giant's book, even if it was like after the vapor canopy when there's still giants left, if then they were writing books about it. There's got to be gravy in there.
Right. I really, really wonder what's in those books. I wonder if we can ask our cakes if he knows. I mean, Jason.
Like, yeah, that'd be a good idea.
You know, like, maybe send him an email or something. Be like, hey, do you know about these? Like, send him pictures of those books, with people with those books, and be like, do you know what's in these books?
It's just a recipe for really good gravy. Like, recipe. It's like so literal. There's so much gravy in this book. You need like beef stock and like.
Anyway. Yeah. I'm just writing some notes down. But so going back to episode 417, I was listening to that. He mentions a guy, mind you, I grew up under a rock, so I don't know who this Bill Cooper guy is. He mentions this Bill Cooper guy. I had heard the name before, but I didn't know like who he was or anything. So I went and looked him up and kind of just got a, I guess he was a conspiracy theorist, allegedly, whatever, according to the good old Wikipedia. So, you know, moving right along, that day, I think I either finished that episode or I was almost done with it. And I get home from my walk, because I was listening to it during my walk. I get home and then I'm listening to Joe's podcast thing where he posted something about Bill Cooper. Well, he didn't say Bill. He said William something Cooper or William Cooper. And I'm like, dude, that can't be the same. But like, who else would he be talking about? Like, it has to be the same person. So it was a total sync, like totally off topic, because Joe doesn't listen to Crow. I mean, yeah. So it's not like he heard it and then he wrote about it. It was so bizarre.
And he's been sending me clips of Bill Cooper for a while now. So,
oh, wow.
I've actually read maybe not the whole book, but most of Behold a Pale White Horse like years ago, like probably like in the mid 2000s.
Oh, wow. What's the premise of it? I mean, I hear people talk about it a lot, probably have an ebook of it somewhere, but I haven't read it yet.
He was a naval, Bill Cooper was a naval, allegedly was a naval intelligence officer. And
I heard this first, like, I don't know, maybe 20 minutes of 15, 20 minutes of his, that interview that he posted.
All right. So the book basically goes into a lot of stuff with like quote unquote extraterrestrial or aliens, and also like into secret societies and stuff like that. And like, I guess what you would call the Illuminati, but who knows what to really call them. You know, I think it's just the quote unquote controllers. So
they naughty?
They're naughty. They're so naughty.
Sorry. Yeah.
They know not what they do. Is really, yeah, what's going on.
So speaking of that, and I was on the part this morning listening to that portion of his testimony, and I wondered, I was trying to like maybe reconcile, but I had just barely gotten to that part and I didn't get to finish it, where he started mentioning like talking to like these people allegedly making this, you know, having discussions with these alleged aliens, and then making pacts with them or contracts or who knows what about sharing information and all this stuff. I wonder if that's not like, I feel like I want to incorporate the law of one into that and think about it as a, like a negative polarity or a negatively polarized social memory complex that is helping them. Do you know what I mean? Like, cause we said, if they ask for help, they're going to get help from that side.
Yeah.
I mean, cause right. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think I was listening to something else. So the negative ones aren't considered a social memory complex because they don't
share their information
the same way. Yeah.
Okay.
And it's funny because I was listening to Aaron Apke talk about it, and it's basically the same thing we said, like with the Emperor and Darth Vader and all that. He was saying the same thing. There's like
a
dictator, right?
Yes, dictatorship. We talked about that.
So I think that could be it, but I also think that there could be other humans that are at a higher consciousness. They just have higher technology. Maybe like Archaic says, they live below us in under the earth somewhere. You know, there's just like caverns and all these cities and crazy stuff below us. So I feel like there could be quote unquote good ones and bad ones that live down there. And I mean, who knows? It could be even the good ones that they're talking to. And they just realize that there's nothing to do with the sheep that live up there at this point. Like, this is kind of, you know, they're playing a role. They're playing the adversary because they're trying to wake us up, because they're trying to give us an experience of true free will and, you know, all that stuff. So it's really hard to say what's going on at the top and with all these meetings. And I'm not saying, so some of the people that are in our realm, like the people you would point to, like the Clintons or whatever, I'm not saying they could still be bad or doing these things, but they could just be getting played. I mean, I know they're getting played either way, but the people at the top, you know, this underground civilization, whoever, if that's what it is, or if it's like aliens or whatever, I think they could be getting played by people that are actually benevolent, that are actually benefactors to us, that are trying to help us. But yeah, that's what I really see going on. I feel that I don't think it's aliens. I just think it's more advanced humans. Cause he talks about, you know, this is something I've known about for a long time, because everyone talks about UFOs, right? Unidentified flying objects. But what about USOs, unidentified submerged objects, which so many people have seen, all kinds of like spacecraft or whatever they are.
Bill Cooper talks about it in that episode.
And he talks about it too.
Interview where he would literally, with people that he was next to on that ship, saw these craft like coming up out of the water, but literally the water would open up for them. They would exit. And then when they were coming back in, the water would open up for them again, kind of like a Moses episode where the water just opens up, they come down, the water closes, and that's it. Like, so interesting.
Yeah. And if that, there really was a society that existed that way, people in these high ranking positions in the military, I feel like would probably know about it, or at least have an idea, or maybe there's something that they're told about it, but some people would know about it. And the way he described it, because Bill Cooper said he saw that, and then he got the officer on duty or whatever was over there, and then they were debriefed when they got to port, and they were basically told they didn't see anything. Don't ever talk about this kind of stuff, you know, it's all hush hush. So that kind of just, it feels to me like it's just other people who are more advanced, who have this other technology. And most of us, I mean, people see it. They're just labeled crazy, or, you know, it's just a UFO. And everybody wants you, like Jason Archaic says, everyone's saying, look up, look up, look up. Well, what does that say? It's probably down, you know?
Right.
Especially if space is fake, you know, Van Allen belt or all that stuff, firmament, you know, if there's something really exists, if there's a hard, fast barrier. And even Michael Tesserian talks about that, and he's not even, you know, he's a glober. He just says the Van Allen belt, or he'll just say that the people here it was a barrier put up by other forces so the evil here can't escape. So it's just, that's what he found in his research. But that could just be allegory for saying that there's no space. You know what I mean? Like,
I really, really want them to meet. I want Jason and Michael Tesserian to meet somehow. I'm going to like manifest that.
Yeah, that would be a great interview.
That would be such an amazing interview. Like, especially if they kind of briefly research each other's stuff before they talk to each other. So they kind of have an idea of what kind of things they're going to talk about, dude, it'll be mind blowing to hear them, because Michael Tesserian has done he's read all these books that so many people have not read, their old books as well. So he's kind of like done what Jason's done, but just in a different realm, a different area of whatever discussion, study. Yeah. And so he's well versed on peoples and where they came from and how they're related and the names, and it kind of like astrotheology, kind of like the Santos discussion he had. But I think it would, Because I feel like Santos was just, he was just listening to him. And maybe at some point they could actually have a discussion.
You know, but, Archaics is going, well, by the time this airs, it would already happen. But on my birthday, July 2nd.
He was going to talk to Santos again.
He's going to talk to him again. Yeah.
I think I heard him say that too.
Yeah. And I think I'm he excited. Said he wanted to hear more of what Santos has to say. So maybe he'll ask him some questions. That'd be really interesting because Santos is another one of these people who has all this
astrotheology, right? Because, and that other guy that comes on to Crow as well, Dylan Sakosho, he's a younger guy, but I'm guessing he's like in his 30s, in his mid to late 30s. But he knows a lot of stuff too about language and he just makes connections and how this word sounds like this word. So it's just off by the vowel sound maybe. And then it's so amazing how it all connects. So, I mean, I would love to have, I think Dylan Sakosho knows David Whitehead, who's Michael Tsarion's co-host. So they've talked, so I'm sure he knows Michael Tsarion's work. But it would just be cool to have like a forum of these guys, you know, Santos, Michael Tsarion, Jason Brashears, Dylan Sakosho. I mean, these guys would have a lot of cool things to talk about together.
Yeah. I'd like to see Jason on Crow 777 too. I think that would be,
I would like that too.
Cause I think Crow is a lot more open to all these ideas than say Michael Tsarion would be. Although Michael Tsarion doesn't judge flat earthers or whatever, you know, he doesn't talk shit about him, which I like. He doesn't agree with him, but I've heard him address that before. And he doesn't, you know, because he basically takes the stance like, listen, I know what it's like to be called crazy, right? When you see something that someone else doesn't. So I'm not going to call them crazy. So I like that.
Yeah. I also think that I'd like to see Crow in on the discussion too.
Yeah.
But
all right, man.
But I just don't know that it'll happen. I would love to see it though.
Yeah. Maybe, but, who knows, you know, maybe one of these days
we'll find a way to get all these guys to know each other. But, so.
And the best part about all of them, well, at least Michael Tsarion, Crow and Jason, is they all basically have the same spirituality as far as, you know, the way that they think that you should live, that the way that they do live in their life, you know, not even that they think, the way they actually live is basically like in accordance with the way Jesus lived, you know, like
service to others, perhaps.
Yeah. Service to others. So I think just that fact alone, especially if it got brought up, that's some would common ground. Them. Yeah. That would unite them. That's a common link that would be the most important.
Absolutely
more important than any of this other stuff, because who really cares about all this other stuff if you're not walking the walk, right?
Absolutely, which we've talked about. So you had mentioned on that, and I don't remember, I think you said this offline, so I can't remember if you said it during this recorded discussion, but you mentioned that in Joe's podcast, he was talking about something luciferic, and I want to comprehend what that means, because it's very confusing to me when people bring this topic up. Some people think that luciferic is equivalent to satanic. Some people don't. Some people think Satan is the good guy, Lucifer is the good guy because he's a light bringer, and Jesus also called himself the morning star. And so it's like, are Jesus and Lucifer the same? All these, like, I'm just trying to comprehend who's where, what are they trying to say? And I heard a couple of recent episodes with Crow. One most recent is episode 418. And the other one, I'm just going to see if I can find it really quick. I think it was episode 415 with Dr. Nathan Riley, who is an OBGYN. He was talking about, so for episode 415 with Dr. Nathan Riley and episode 418 with Wayne McCroy, they both brought up this topic of Rudolf Steiner talking about this Ahrimanic, what do they call it? Ahrimanic versus Luciferic idea or concept. And I'm confused. Like, I still don't, and I haven't finished 418, but even as they're trying to discuss it, I'm like, well, which one's which? Like, I still feel like when you're talking about Ahrimanic, it sounds Luciferic to me. So like, I'm lost. Do you have any insight into that?
Well, what I could say is that we've kind of touched on this before in episodes, but at the end of the day, see, this is something Joe talked about in his most recent episode of Contemplation of Spirit, Contemplations of Spirit.
Was where, it six or seven?
Seven, right, is the most recent one, I think.
Okay.
I think he put something else out, too. I just saw.
Yeah, he just did. Yeah, so... That's why I'm confused.
Dude, I fell asleep listening to it last night, and it was he had our favorite doctor, what's his name? Who's the guy?
Oh, Watkins?
No, no. The Sedona Method guy. What is his
freaking... Sorry, David R. Hawkins?
Yeah, David R. Hawkins.
Oh, he's the Sedona Method guy? I didn't know he was.
Well, he was in on it when it was early, yeah, but then he kind of split off from what the real Sedona Method is now. But he was living in Sedona and stuff, though. But
so it's episode seven after the Bill Cooper testimony. Okay.
So he had at the end, he was playing an excerpt from David R. Hawkins, and I fell asleep during that part, and I woke up like at 6 a.m. or something, and it was still playing, but it must have looped around to other stuff he had sent, and it was another David R. Hawkins thing. So I was just like listening to David R. Hawkins last night while I was sleeping all night. So but I thought that was pretty funny. But
I do want to ask you more stuff about David R. Hawkins here in a minute, because yeah, I'm glad you're bringing it up. Go ahead.
For shizzle.
My nizzle.
The thing, so what Joe was talking about, even with Satanists, for example, he's like, they're not like evil, like muahaha, right? They're more like pragmatic, and they are more about the good of all, like the greater good, you know. Like, some people will say, oh, you know, we got to let some of these people die because it's for the greater good. And that's really where a lot of these Satanists are. They're more focused on the greater good. So even though they're doing things that might seem evil or bad or wrong, they're really focused on the greater good for all. Now, he's not saying that's a good thing. What he basically is saying, though, is Luciferianism, the same thing, but it really has to do with any kind of collective solution for everybody, right?
Where it's like, versus an individual path.
Versus an individual path to just realize that we're all one, and to have a transcendental experience, where a lot of people talk about, just kind of like when you do psychedelics, you kind of see that realm, but there's ways to get there without drugs.
Right.
It's like an ego death, really. And it's not like you stay there in that spot. I think maybe some people do, but I think you just get glimpses of it, or sometimes you can have an experience. Like, even Aaron Abke was talking about, it happened to him, and he was like that for like 2 weeks. And then he said that it went away, but anytime he smoked weed, it would come back for a while, but then it still kind of went away. But
I feel like I heard that episode. Okay.
Yeah, that's when he was getting interviewed by the lady from the Under 30 podcast or whatever.
Okay, okay, yeah.
Or Almost 30.
Almost 30, yeah.
Yeah, I just listened to that one yesterday.
That was a good one. I liked that one.
Yeah. So... really, at the end of the day, any of these solutions that involve an answer for the collective, that's wrong. And he was also talking about natural law. He was like, if you are talking about natural law and you're saying that it's the solution or like you're prescribing it for everybody, you're kind of putting the cart before the horse, because it's like woke ripping. You know, you can't just, I mean, you can do whatever you want, right? But by doing that, you're judging people and you're getting away from the true mission, I guess, would be to figure out a way to love everybody, to open up your heart to all this stuff. These aren't his words. This is kind of just how I'm putting it in. But I feel like that's the problem with Lucifer. Even the people who look at the Luciferians in a good light, they'll say like the Satanists are the bad ones and Luciferians are the good ones. And I think that it's just because, boiled down at its essence, at the end of the day, it's a collective solution. It's a solution for everybody, for the collective to fit in. And another thing he brought up was like tarot and astrology and Kabbalah. And he, Joe, and he was saying how he used to practice all this stuff and he looked deep into it and everything. But he said right now, the way he feels about it is it looks like it's kind of like a shortcut, and you don't know the forces that you're dealing with. So a lot of times tarot people that are having like these amazing experiences with tarot and they're doing it with other people, they start to develop an ego because of it. And, you know, that's another, because then they feel like they're the ones who are doing it and they don't even really know who the entities are that are helping them. So, but it's kind of like what Ram Dass said.
Everything is a trap.
Every method is a trap. Yeah.
I knew you were going to, if you didn't say it, I was going to say it.
It's so funny. So am I going to have to throw all my tarot cards away? No.
No.
So yeah, no, I'm just, but again,
I have more that I might donate to you.
That's it, everybody. I'm burning my tarot cards. So, so I think though, it's just a really good reminder to know that's what it is. You know,
I love that everything is a trap, because it makes total sense for me.
Yeah, it really does, because it's about attachment, really, at the end of the day. So if you get attached totally to tarot is. And you think tarot's the way, or astrology or any of this stuff, mm-hmm. when really the way is to just love everybody, you know, like
just
like
be
like Maharaji says, let go of anger and love everybody, you know, like. He's like, but I can't. Or no, he's like, tell the truth and love everybody. But the truth is that I hate everybody. You know, like, just tell the truth and love everybody. That's as easy as it is, but that's hard. It's no, we're not saying that it's easy to do, but it's just simple.
Yeah, it's easy. We're done with the episode.
Bye. I just love everybody. I love them everyone. All. But it really is hard to do, though, because... You know, you see these people, like we were saying earlier, the ones that are like, there's no conspiracies, and they just want to live their life and engage in escapism all day and not even care about anything. It's like, it's hard to not be mad at those people, or at least have some kind of contempt or disgust or judgment for them, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that's the secret, right? That's the way through. And if you can get to that point, maybe you level up and get to the next level. But that's why we love the Oversharing Show, because we talk about these concepts and this
all
is stuff.
The time.
Yeah. And this is exactly what we're trying to do in both our lives. So maybe if we ever get there, we'll tell you. Or maybe you won't know. Maybe we'll just stop doing the Oversharing Show. We're like, we're in complete bliss.
Yeah,
we get upgraded.
We didn't need to overshare anymore.
Yeah, exactly. We're done oversharing. We're just going to normal share now.
Oh, God. So the question or the thoughts that I had about David R. Hawkins earlier, that, because I was trying to remember his name too. So while you were talking earlier, I was like looking through my Telegram, looking for his name. I was like, what was the guy's name? I forgot his name. So I got a message from a friend with a video about 100th Monkey stuff, which was funny because, did you get to watch it?
Mm-mm.
Okay. It was very interesting, and she explained what the 100th Monkey concept was, and how I guess this monkey on an isolated island, went and before he actually ate his fruit, he went and washed it in the river. And then not long after, every monkey was going to wash theirs in the river. And then at the same time, off island on different parts of the world, other monkeys were doing the same exact thing. So she talks about, it's almost like a vibration. This pattern becomes like a vibration and it's communicated telepathically or energetically, right? And although we have that ability, I guess she said what was funny is that she said that this method of communication is actually called memes or something like that.
Wow.
And so she's like, we're going to save the world through memes. She said something like that. I was laughing. She just put that video out like a day or two ago. I think was it yesterday's video?
Wow.
I think it was 2 days ago's video. And so she's talking about that. And it made me think, because in a previous episode, now I can't remember which one it was, but we remember when I was speculating about, well, why don't we just keep raising this vibration to bring the 100th monkey, you know, quote, because we're not monkeys, but the 100th human. And I don't like that word either, but the 100th man or woman.
Living man or woman, how dare you, Sharon? No.
Yes. and she basically was saying what I had said, which could it be that? No, I guess that's a concept, which I honestly didn't even know it was a thing that we've been wanting to bring this about for people as well, not just for, but this concept that raising our vibrations. Well, okay, so what she said that was interesting was that, like, and I can't remember the numbers, but it was like one person vibing at a high vibration is equivalent of like 30,000 of the, or something like that, of the, like, what we would say normies. Like, she doesn't use that word, but I'm just saying, like, so she's like, don't think that it's going to take that many people. Like, it doesn't have to take that many people if we all, like, if those of us who know about this, you know, about this concept can bring that high vibration, and it just has to happen. And then it's just like it'll escalate and it'll just go all over, and then there wouldn't be this need to explain things to people. There will be no need for woke raping. So what she said made me think of, because I never looked into the concept of what David R. Hawkins talks about, which are these multiple levels and like the 100, 200, 300, you know, all these all the way up to, I don't know, 700 or
1,000.
A thousand.
A thousand's like the Christ consciousness.
Okay. So, can you explain a little bit about what David R. Hawkins talks about with those numbers?
Yes, but first, something popped into my brain I wanted to talk about with 100 monkeys. So I think it happens easier with animals because they don't have free will.
They just do.
They just get, it's like a update happens to them, right? And I think...
Holy shit. The Mandelu! Just kidding. Keep going.
I think with it is a Mandelu. I think, right? With humans, it's different because they actually have to choose it. So I feel like it could work in the same way if enough people raise a vibration. So right now we're at the stage where there's not a lot of people that in, you know, the ratio of people who get it to the ratio that don't get it. And I feel like that's what all this fear porn and truther stuff is all about, because the people who are smart that would get it get sidetracked and they get trapped into these other, you know, ego traps, I guess we could say. So they look into this stuff and they study all the wrong that's going on in the world, and they try to point all that stuff out. So they just get cycled back down and their vibration lowers because of it, because of fear and judgment and all this stuff. But I feel so with one monkey, it took one monkey to do that. And then all the other monkeys got it. But I think with people, it's a little different. We could still affect the people around us and maybe even everybody in the realm if we're at a higher vibration. But if there's once more people start to attain that higher vibration, I think then it becomes apparent to people and then they could actually see it in their life and they could see the benefits of it. And even if they don't see it consciously, maybe subconsciously. So I think that's how it gets raised up with humans, because they actually have to choose to do it instead of it just being downloaded into their head. So I think I just wanted to bring that up because we're not monkeys, right? Like you said,
yeah,
we're not animals. That's like in the law one, we were talking about that a couple weeks ago. That's more like, the second, level of consciousness, right? It's funny because the dimensions, that's something we kind of screwed up in the podcast too, because there are dimensions and then there's density.
Yeah, well, I tried to tell you and you're like, no, it's the same. It doesn't matter.
I tried telling you.
You know what's funny is I was thinking of this very thing this morning.
Oh, really?
I was like, I need to tell Brandon that it does matter because density is not the same thing as dimension. And because I remember I kind of tried to say, oh, density, and you're like, it doesn't matter. The same concept. And I'm like, okay, I'll just leave him alone.
Well, at least you didn't woke rape me.
I didn't. And now you came to the conclusion.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I watched another video and then I was like, oh yeah. Right. So, well, that also has to do with like people wanting to go to 5D right away. That is more of a different thing than the fifth density. So,
okay.
Anyway, humans, what's that?
Explain. Is it the same thing we talked about before?
Well, in that episode, we were talking about the law one. We were saying how people aren't talking about the fourth dimension. They're saying we got to get to 5D is in the five.
Well, what I meant was four density, but yeah.
Well, remember, because we were saying, I think they're skipping a...
Because 4D is fourth density.
Yeah.
And it's the density of love.
Yes, exactly. And then people who were saying they want to get to the fifth dimension, I think that's... obviously, like we just realized that's just something different. So excuse us for our faux pas.
Do they say maybe they're mixing up their words?
Well, like the new agers that say they want to get into the fifth density.
They'll say 5D. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, the fifth dimension.
Oh, they say dimension.
Yeah.
Oh, OK. I mean, yeah, I guess for them, they don't realize there is a difference between those two words. They probably exactly. Don't know about the law of one is what basically it boils down
yeah,
to.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. So anyway, the animals though are in this second density of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't have the free will like
we
do.
Free will. Yeah. The self-awareness is what it is. I think that brings the 3D and it comes with free will.
Exactly. So as far as all that stuff, I just wanted to bring that up. And then the thing with David R. Hawkins, he talks about different levels of consciousness from 0 to 1,000. And I think he says 200 is the limit of truth. So anything under 200 is all false. So people are weighing in or they are at a level of 200 or lower, then they're in total just lost in total lies or whatever, and then at 200 is when it starts to go. But 200, go ahead.
How is this test being done, if you know? Do you know, is it like a muscle test or is it
kinesiology?
Like
yeah,
okay.
But what he was doing was he was just asking questions and then he would use the kinesiology on a certain person that was there with him.
Okay.
But he said you can't really figure out your own. It's more of like he would ask about somebody or whatever. And it's not like they would just brand everybody, you know, they would talk about like certain people in history or whatever.
Okay.
But I think that, as far as his level though, from 0 to 1,000, 200. So you're above 200, you're in truth, but you're still locked into the ego or the physical. And you still think everything here matters more. So as the stages go
materialistic.
Up
materialistic.
Exactly. You're more materialistic. And then as the stages go up, that stuff just starts to go away and you just get to different levels. Yeah.
Start going away.
You start to let the attachments go. And, but this is the tricky thing with that though, because like we showed with that hilarious meme few episodes ago.
Ego death.
Yeah, and then the spiritual ego comes in, because sometimes people that get these higher levels of consciousness, they get trapped at that level. So say they develop some kind of power or a city, or they could do something, then that becomes their identity, and then they're now attached to that. So if they
like
can heal
the tarot
people,
reading that Joe might have been talking about, like once the tarot reader gets to a point where it like becomes like a thing for them.
Yeah, and they could, because that's really, I mean, I just did a tarot reading for somebody this week, and somebody I've never met before, they hit me up and were like, hey, I do reading. And the way it came out was just amazing. It was crazy how the cards come out. It's so applicable to their life. Mm-hmm. And then I could say, hey, that's my power. That's something I'm doing. Oh, look at me. I'm getting so good at tarot, you know. Or I could just say, what a freaking crazy realm we exist in, huh? Isn't that nuts?
Right.
Now what? You know?
Right. And I want to say, just to interject, that I, like, when you started talking about tarot and I started doing readings and stuff for people just to practice, I see its purpose and value and stuff. For those moments when it's useful, right? But I never was able to like, not able, but I just couldn't like see myself like, because I wasn't doing it regularly. I did it regularly for a few months because I wanted to learn a little bit more and learn about the cards and stuff. And I still don't feel like 100% comfortable with them, but I just felt like it was just too much. It was just becoming too much. So I just was like, I just left him alone for a while. And then now it's like, if I feel like I need to get something or need to understand something, then I go and I'll do a reading. But, or if somebody were to ask me, then I would. But I just didn't get attached to it somehow.
That's good. Yeah. No, I like to use them for clarity, like you were saying, right? You just, to get an idea. It's like a tool, really, like anything else. But I could see myself getting to a point where it didn't matter anymore, you know, like it's not like, even the thought of throwing all my tarot cards away didn't really bother me that much. Not that I'm going to do that, but I wasn't like, oh no, my precious tarot, you know, like,
yeah.
I get it. It's like, it's just like a rosary or mala beads or whatever they are, you know, like you use them and then after a while you don't need to, or whatever it is. Yeah.
I use them because they're pretty.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
How dare me.
Like my crystal skull.
That thing is so cool.
Yeah. This thing is awesome.
That's really cool.
This thing knows. But yeah, I think it's really the key is attachment. That's why, I mean, I even give crystals away like all the time, you know, I'll be like, especially if it's a crystal I really like, I'm like, you know what, this person could probably use it. And I was thinking about that. It's like a little bit of a sidetrack because I gave Pat Oates one. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking to myself, like, if he believes that this is going to help him.
Because you gave it to him?
Because I gave it to him, then it will help him because of his belief system. Because right. He already knows so much about like psychology and all this stuff. But from my point of view, I could see some areas where he might be tripping up or whatever, right? It's like somebody who believes the official story of 911, right? You're just like, look at Building 7 or whatever. But so I know that he already knows how to do all this stuff. So if I give him that, then maybe he'll believe in himself because of the crystal for a while, you know, something like that.
Yeah. Power of really, belief.
It's all the power of belief, you know?
It's like everything's a placebo. Could it be?
Yeah, it could be. And the other thing too, with these crystals is I think they have a certain vibration to them, you know, and if somebody can use
like
them.
Like we were saying that crystals are alive.
Yeah, first density consciousness. Right? The elements. Yeah. Earth, yeah. Air, water,
there's
fire.
No free will, but they're still things. They're still like, there's still life there, a spirit to them.
Exactly. Consciousness.
Could it be?
That's what I heard.
Yeah. So Yeah, thank you for sharing about the David R. Hawkins stuff. That's I kind of had heard about that, but I wasn't quite sure kind of how it worked. I just needed a refresher. But earlier you were talking about natural law and how, can you just give me a refresher on what you were saying about that again?
About natural law, how if you make it a doctrine, you know, and you write it down and you try to teach it to all these people and stuff, it just becomes another, it could become another trap, I guess you could say. Yeah. Because the way Joe's explaining is like, we know right from wrong. Like intuitionally we could feel what's right or wrong. We just have to choose it. Right. So by having this thing and pushing it out on people, it is kind of satanic or Luciferian in that way, because it's like another collective answer.
Got it.
And that's, again, these aren't his words, but this is the way I'm digesting it and spitting it back to you. So he might have
that helps. And it's kind of, how shall I say, it's synchronistic to what's going on with me right now. Because I'm part of this group that's like about sovereignty, and I've been participating in it for a couple of years now. And, you know, my thing is like, I like I've talked about, like when I started going back to church and everything, I just jump in. I see what it's all about, and then I decide later if that's still something I want to keep, you know, participating in, you know what I mean? And
you mean like these?
You decided that you realized you don't like them anymore.
Oh no, that's not what I mean. But you say like you jump in. I get it. Like this one is Om Mani Padme Hum. It's like a Buddhist chant, and then this is like from a tarot card. I'm gonna have to remove my tattoo now. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, you're fine.
But no, I know what you mean is what I say, what I'm saying. I get it. I jump in too.
Yeah, I get it.
I think it's the only way to be though. Cause like even Jesus is like lukewarm. I'm going to spit you out, motherfucker. You know, like,
right.
Gotta be hot.
Yeah. Baby, hot or cold, pick one. Positive polarity or negative polarity, pick one. Cause I don't like the middle. So there you go. There's the law of one. Right. The middle people don't go anywhere. They can't move. You're either hot, you cold.
That's right. And if you want to be negative and polarized to 95% negative,
you will. You can do that.
Good luck. You know, you go.
Yeah. And you can skip 4D. You can skip love.
Well, they still. So that's the thing, too. They still go into 4D, the fourth density. They still move into it. That's something else I heard that I had to correct in the show. So the way Aaron was explaining is they still go there, but they just have love for themselves.
Okay. It's a self love for self versus love for others, or what did he
service,
call it?
It's a self-service way. They're loving service in a service to self
versus service to others. Right.
Exactly.
Okay. So they're,
but I don't think they're, the thing the is though,
of, they skip it in the sense of they don't really have love for others, which is the point.
Yeah. They still go to the fourth density of consciousness. They just do it without opening their heart chakra. Yeah. Okay. So we got that part right.
Okay. Got it.
This is, I mean, it's so confusing.
It's so dense. Like I went back to listen to an old episode and I still haven't finished it. Cause I'm just like, I slowed it down and I was like trying to capture stuff. Cause the first time you hear it, you just kind of have to hear it through. Even though I played it, like even the first time I heard it, I played it multiple times. Like I would rewind. Cause I wanted to, some stuff just didn't make sense. And it's because there's not a lot of context. I feel like you have to go through those videos unless you just want to dive deep and read the book. You know,
the videos are a good place to start though.
There definitely are.
And I would love to talk to Aaron Abke and be like, hey, you know how you're saying everything's so spiritual? Why do you think that the thing we live on is a physical thing then? Like, could it be a spiritual realm? What do you think, buddy? No.
Could it be? Yeah. No. And you know what? I feel like he'd probably be open to that discussion.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. But I derailed us, or I don't know. Where was I? Sovereignty group.
Yes, go ahead.
So unless you had something else to say.
Nope.
So I jumped in and at this point I have come to see how there it's just, again, like you were talking about, that's why it resonated with me. And I'm sure when I listen to Joe talking about it, it'll resonate with me, that it's a collective. It's like you're telling everybody to do the same thing when everybody has their own path and they have to get there how they're going to get there. And they'll have to learn their own way, the way that is intended for their path and their decisions and their karma. So now that I have come to see, it's not that I don't agree with the things that they're doing or that I dislike them or anything, but I just see how I'm like vibrating more on that frequency of like, I don't want this. I don't want this collective path. I want to be on my own path. That was very synchronistic for me, because that's something that I've been thinking about for probably a good couple of months now. In fact, you did a reading for me about it, like, I want to say a couple months ago. And I think this coming weekend, your birthday weekend, your born day, realm entrance day weekend, shall I say, was the target for me to rethink about my approach to that group that I'm in. So, but I'm very comfortable with my thoughts on it at this point. And they're very much in line with what, like you were saying, and Joe was saying. So it makes sense to me. And yeah, I'm glad it came up, because it's very relevant, and it kind of reinforces my thoughts on it and gives me, I don't know, validation, but at the same time, it's more like sources saying, yeah, you get it.
Yeah, you got what you needed out of that. And yeah, I hear you. Again, it's and what she's talking about is, it's basically a way for people to take back the true government or whatever it is, to govern themselves in a different way. And it does, it's, I mean, everything they're saying is right. That's the problem with truth. Because you could be right and you can have all this truth, but then there's just this little piece that you're missing, and that's where you could go wrong. And I'm not saying that they're doing anything wrong. I mean, I hope what they're doing works out, because I would rather live under that system than the system we have currently. But I feel like even another person I talked to, I gave a reading for a guy who was running one of the state ones, and he was stepping down, and he was saying how people need more spirituality that are in this movement. And I think even if he didn't realize it, maybe even intuitionally, that's kind of what he meant, because,
oh yeah,
you know, we talk about this all the time. If you get rid of the government, it'll be chaos in the streets. And I'm not saying that's what these people are doing, but the reason is because people need government right now. You know, like, I used to be an anarchist, and we talked about this with Scott from Rebunked, how we both used to be more of anarcho-capitalists. There it is. Where we believe there shouldn't be any government. And now, through the help of Owen Benjamin, and, you know, through a lot of other things I've looked into, and that's what I love about listening to one person. Like, you don't just have Owen Benjamin on a pedestal, but if he's, you know, he's really smart and he could see things and he's starting to come to these conclusions, then you could question him. And then you look around and you're like, all right, what he's saying does make a lot of sense, which is like, people just aren't ready for that right now where we are. You know, people would just rip each other apart if they didn't have a government to keep them in line, I guess. And that goes back to what we talked about, how people are raised in the society. So it could become like a chicken or an egg argument, you know, like, well, if we didn't have the government to put these people through schools and stuff, they wouldn't be like that. Well, or maybe because the level of trauma that we've suffered in the past, maybe because of the resets, like Archaics talks about, something happened and people just are split, right? We have this ego and this higher self and all these different like id and all this stuff going on, right? We're like multiple personalities. We have to merge it on our own. And maybe that's why we're here. We're actually here to do that work, to figure it all out. We can only figure it out one at a time. And if you take the cage away, people will just rip each other apart, you know? So maybe they and the controllers, maybe they are doing us a huge favor because they're allowing us to live long enough and to make these choices. And it's funny because something Bill Cooper was saying, to go back to how he made all these predictions that didn't seem like they came true, but he was saying how in his version of what was going to happen, it was going to be much more dystopian, right? He was like, they're going to do this and they're going to do that. But I was like, you know, I think they're just using the silent weapons for quiet wars right now is really what's going on. Like, you got McDonald's and Coca-Cola and like sugar and television and all this other means to control people. And it doesn't have to be jackboots kicking in your door, taking your guns away and all this stuff. Yeah. Because people who think they're free are the best slaves, you know, like, and you don't have to go around and kill a bunch of people when you could just convince them to take a experimental medical serum. You know what I'm saying? Like, that might have all these terrible effects and it might sterilize people. Who knows really what's going on with that? But just the fact that people accepted that, even if it was a placebo, on a certain level, like their true self, just like we were saying earlier, what people's true self knows what the real answer is or whatever, they're going to know that this isn't right. And the ones who praise it the most, they're the ones that are in the most denial, but they still know at some level. So maybe that's why people are having all these side effects and stuff, right? Mm-hmm. It could just be their belief, like we talked about so many times. And so I think that it's really just part of the whole plan. It's something we all have to kind of go through. And again, even if people die, they're going to get put back into the system. And maybe, like you were saying, the people in the middle, they don't go anywhere. Well, they die and they just come back and they just stay in the middle. And then the more of us that choose one path or the other start to bring them up. And even the people on the negative path, they start to, I guess you could say, lower the vibration of the other people or whatever it is. They bring them to a different vibration where they could then ascend up the path on the dark hand side. But at least they're moving up and they're not staying here, you know, moving on up to the top.
Was that a show?
Yeah, the Jeffersons.
I just remember the moving on up part, but I don't know that I ever watched the show. I mean,
oh, I used to love that show.
Clips and pictures and stuff, but I don't think I've.
Sherman Hemsley, that dude is hilarious.
I'll need to see a clip at some point.
Yeah, Wheezy. That was a great show. Anyway, so I feel, again, and when you can realize that or start to entertain that thought, then you could start to let things go more. And I think that's really what it's about, is letting it go, because the more you can let go, the more you could see that on some level we are all one. And again, that gets distorted and, you know, inverted and turned into the utopia, and, you know, we're going to have a perfect thing. And that's the other thing that Bill Cooper was saying that was so mind blowing. He's like, you can't have a society that's just good or bad. You got to have both. You got to have the good with the bad. You can't have utopia where everyone's lovey-dovey living in the woods or whatever it is. And I mean, that we probably could, but, you know, but you can't also just have the total lockdown of the other side, like the right. Like he was using like the right and left paradigms, or like the anarchist thing or whatever, but it's more of like, you have to have a society where you realize there is both quote unquote good and bad, dark and light or whatever it is. And you just find a balance. And that goes back to everything. I mean, the yin and the yang, that symbol has been with me my whole life. Like the first time I saw it, I just was enamored with it. And like, I even have a cup somewhere. I don't think it's here, but I made it in high school in an art class, and it was like a little mug with the yin and the yang I drew on there. And it's something I've really always been drawn to. And that's, I mean, it displays it perfectly, of the dark and the light, and they're just in a dance. They're like two fish swimming, you know, and you have that little speck of dark inside the light and a little set of light inside the dark. And it's, that's really what it is. So,
yeah. And just to close this off, I just wanted to comment on your discussion about like needing to get to the point where it's spiritual and these people are, you know, recognizing that things are more spiritual. And it's funny you say that because someone I was speaking to in the same group was mentioning that they were feeling kind of very similarly in the sense that we need to be more like, we need to focus on our spiritual path more. And so, and not only that, but I think the people that you were talking to and the one you did a reading for and all that stuff, they recognize that as well. And, they even started talking to other people and getting a group together to talk about these spiritual topics. So, yeah, I mean, it's like, I'm not the only one. There's other people in the group that are kind of doing the spiral upward type of thing.
Yeah. We're watching the 100 monkey syndrome happen. It's just slower with humans because we have to choose it, you know? And I feel like the way psychology works with humans, monkey see, monkey do, there you go. Right. So with the monkeys, maybe it just happens automatically, but with the humans, the more they see people doing it, I think then they maybe start to question their own actions after a while. And then it just happens more rapidly. But that's why I'm really excited for the future. And that's why I think all these psyops are getting so crazy, because they really need to hold our people's attention now. So they just overturned Roe versus Wade. You know what I mean? They're really pulling out all the stops, you know?
Right. It's just getting retardedly and ridiculous.
It gets people on both sides, because the people who are pro, we'll say pro-choice, whatever, they get upset, and the people who are pro-life are like super happy, like we won, but nobody won anything. It's just
right
at the end of the day. And I was even talking to Pat Oates about this. We're like, all they said was now it's just up to the states. And that's kind of even like, I've talked to somebody who's even that gets it, but that is not against abortion, I'll just say. And they're just like, yeah, this is just the Supreme Court doesn't, the federal government doesn't have that right, technically, even according to the Constitution, to decide. It's actually it's with the Supreme Court holding that ruling originally, it's like they're overstepping their bounds as the federal government, you know? So no matter what side
government
of you are
not, overreach.
Yeah, it's an overreach. And if it's something you're into and you agree with abortion, then you're going to view it as a good thing. But overall, if a travesty of justice is happening, it hurts everybody, because then they're just going to overreach one day in an area that you're not happy about. So, that's how it is. And, I could see both sides of this argument. Like, I'm not saying I still think it is murder, but if somebody wants to do it, you know
what
I'm saying?
Like, I mean, they're going to do it whether you try to stop them or not.
Yeah. It's kind of their choice. And I get the whole,
it's kind of like
though.
The gun.
Yeah.
You try to take them away, there's going to be an underground railroad for them.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. People are going to find a way to get rid, you know, they're going to find a way to engage in their hedonistic lifestyle, no matter what happens.
And there you go. There's the whole path for everybody. Like, no, you must do it this way. Says who? That person is engaging in their own free will choice to do whatever they want. So in a sense, could it be pro-choice?
They're really only hurting themselves when they do that, because I've known people who have gone through that procedure and really regret it. And if you think of the life, so everyone's like, what about the baby? What about the child? It's like, that person's immortal. They're going to come back somewhere else, you know?
Right.
And again, these, when we talk this way, it makes us seem like we're very cold and calculated, or very like unfeeling, but, I think it's another attachment, you know, like we were saying before, if you see somebody having an abortion and you're like, I can't believe all this stuff. It's like, listen, from their point of view, remember, as Jesus was getting nailed to the cross, he forgave the people. they don't know what they're doing. They're only hurting themselves. And I could see people want to educate and try to explain this to people and stuff. And I understand, and that's kind of like woke raping, but I understand if that's what you want to do. And that is, it's like service to others when you're doing that kind of stuff, really. But if you're hating them and you're mad about it and you're just spiraling and stuff, that's another, it's, you're just lowering your own vibration, right? We'll just say it that way.
Yeah. I saw something really funny in a Telegram chat earlier this week. And it was like a lot of young girls and just a lot of people at this rally, I guess, standing outside of, was it the Capitol building or whatever building that was, or with signs that said that it was all, that it was overturned or whatever. And I'm like, does anybody notice that they have a sign that says it's overturned before they knew it would be overturned? Like, who gave them the signs? You know what I mean? Like, how did you know?
It's like when, you know, like when the 49ers would win the Super Bowl and they already have the shirts that say Super Bowl champions, you know, it's like, what happened to the other guy's shirts? Like those things
Get destroyed? I mean,
they ended up in Africa now and everybody's like wearing like Buffalo Bills Super Bowl champion shirts, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and it also reminds me of like when you see bricks just on the corner ready for.
Oh yeah. Pallets of bricks. That
more pallets of bricks. And you're like, riots. Why are those there? Why are those there?
Exactly. Really? Could it be? It's a battery, you know? That it really comes down to battery, because the people at the top or whatever are feeding off of both sides of this. They're feeding off the hate, your anger and your hate. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's silly, but that's to bring it back to the original point. And then I guess we can end this, but my original point about this was, that's why the PSYOPs are getting so crazy right now. Right. And it's probably only going to get crazier, but only out there, you know, just mind your own vibration, your own, you know, worry about yourself.
Right.
Matt from Quantum Conscious, worry about yourself.
Yeah. And like,
but in a way to service to others, you know, like you still are healing yourself, because then you could raise your vibration and raise everyone else's vibration, and you could still help people and you could do all that stuff, but you're not judging them, right? You're not hating them. You're not all that stuff. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just going to say how like the PSYOPs are just getting just stupider and stupider and stupider. It's like they're making it more obvious so that people could maybe wake up, like just maybe, because it's now it's just borderline freaking ridiculously retarded.
It can't even be fun anymore for those people. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I just don't even get it.
Like 9/11 was probably fun. They're like, oh, look at these idiots. They think, you know, now they're just like, are they ever going to get it? Like we just said monkeypox. Like what the hell? Like,
right. M-word.
Crazy.
But yeah.
All right.
So I think what do you think, B?
I think that's about it. I think we knocked it out of the park. Are you kidding me? This is the best show on the internet right now.
Get her done.
And you know what it is? Because I think we're not making claims. One, I guess I'm boosting our ego, but we're not really trying to prove anything to anybody. We're just talking about where we're at to each other in a manner where other people who jive with it could also understand these concepts, because we know a bunch of people, which we're very lucky to know a bunch of people that are into this stuff and that like the show, which is really cool. But I don't think a lot of other shows are doing this, you know, so that's why I'm excited about it.
Yeah,
we just slaughter the sacred cows. Like we were just talking about burning all our tarot decks and people would be like, wait, I thought you were a tarot reader, you know? It's like, I don't know. We have to start renting them, like Ram Dass said. He's like, after a while you just start renting the outfits, like instead of buying them. Because you're just going to throw them away or whatever. Yeah. It's so funny.
Yeah. It's like materialism. It's just, you know, I get it, because I don't know. I feel like a lot of my life, and I was thinking about that this morning, and I know we're wrapping up, but just that you know, I'm just, I was thinking, was it yesterday or this morning? I was just thinking about like, just the stuff that I've all, you know, the stuff that I had when I was young, or like maybe even clothes or, you know, shoes or whatever, or things, right? Things of this world. And it's like, and I'm like, whatever happened to that dress? Cause I was looking through old pictures this past week and I saw an old picture and I was like, I wonder what happened to that old dress. And it's like, but like, whenever I was like done with clothes or whatever, I was just done with it. And then I'd move on to the next. It's not like I like kept it for relics or anything like that. It just was like, okay, that's, and sometimes I just like, I just wonder about them. Like, oh, that's interesting. I used to wear that. I wonder whatever happened to that thing, that sort of thing. But yeah, it's just stuff, you know, and we can't take it with us.
Nope, not at all. It's all material, which
it could it be that it's not even material?
Well, that's what I mean. If it's if it's really material, then, and we're just living in some kind of realm, then it is just like a dream. It's like when you're dreaming about something and then you wake up and it's gone. I think it's kind of the same thing. And I think we can only really take with us what we've learned, you know?
Yeah.
So I think in some aspects or capacities, what we learn here doesn't go away. That stays with us, even if we go on to another life. Even if the
memory gets wiped every incarnation.
Yeah.
It's still there.
Yeah. It's just the memories of our experiences are gone, but the knowledge we attained is still there. Stuff still resonates with us. And maybe that's why we're talking about this stuff, because maybe in previous lives or whatever it was, we figured out certain things and then we get born and we still have to go through all this bullshit. But then when we get to a certain point, and maybe that's why there's government, because then it could allow people to live longer. Because if not, they might rip themselves apart and die a lot earlier. And again, I'm not a fan. Trust me. You can go look at, I have a website called morelawsmoreproblems.com, everybody. All right. I've had
slash it for, over Sharon
slash over Sharon. That's how you get the show. But I've had that website for almost 10 years. So I'm not a fan of the government, but what I'm saying is, could it be that because of all their restrictions, we're able to exist and have this easier lifestyle, quote unquote easier, but for some people it's very hard. Even if they're at the top of this materialistic game and they're like a billionaire, it's still hard because they're suffering, but it just makes it easier because you don't have to be out all day toiling in a field or whatever, so you can actually look into this stuff and then kind of re-remember what you already learned and then just work on it from there, you know, the ones that choose to do it. And then the people that don't, like you said, they just stay in the middle and then they just come back until they finally do. Hopefully
they pick a path.
Yeah. Well, speaking of picking paths, we're going to pick a path to end the show. So
thanks to everyone in the chat.
Yeah. What up, chat? Shout out to you guys. You've been having some great chats lately. It's been really fun. Really interesting stuff going on there. A lot of cool people, new listeners. And so we're really excited. If you guys want to find more, like Sharon said, go to morelawsmoreproblems.com/oversharon, and you could find all of our links, ways to support us, other stuff, the book that I wrote, all kinds of fun stuff. And if you have any questions, please comment below. We will totally talk about it in an episode. And if there's anything you want us to talk about in a future episode, please let us know also, because we always love ideas.
Great comments lately, by the way. Thanks.
Yeah, we have some awesome. Everybody. That's what I'm saying. We have like the best listeners. Fans, listeners, slaves. No, one day. All right, everybody. Thank you for listening to the Oversharon Show. Sharon, what do we say to the good people?
That if you're not oversharing,
then you're totally not caring.
That's right.
So overshare and share on. See you guys later. Ciao.